I wrote this song about the leftist circular firing squads of the world. First, it was inspired by the Answer Coalition and their marvelous job at organizing the protests in D.C. last April and alienating most anybody who came to the protest who wasn't already committed activist by chanting slogans at them incessantly, down with U.S. imperialism, down with U.S. imperialism. If you hear that enough times, it doesn't get any more interesting, I think. Free Palestine, free Palestine. And so I wrote the song for the Answer Coalition, and if you're offended by the song, it's probably about you. Workers' World says that they have all the answers, and Milosevic is a guy that they admire. The ISO says Trotsky is the man, and they'll debate it until they all expire. The industrial workers will lead the revolution, so says the SWP. No, the truth lies with the lumpen. That's the RCP. The Sparts say the rest can go to hell. And everyone else is a Stalinist. The CP will just do their thing and pretend that the others don't exist. Well, I had a realization this morning as I looked into the red and dawning sun. I figured out the truth, and I'm forming a party of one. 'Cause I am the leader of the workers, and I'll tell you why the left is suspect. 'Cause there's something you don't understand. Only my line is correct. Yeah, I am the vanguard of the masses, and all of you should just follow me. And if you doubt my analysis, you must be in the petty bourgeoisie. But I am not sectarian. It's all the rest who are. I work fine in coalitions, as long as I'm the shining star. So bow down to your new master, the latest V.I. Lenin. And off to the camps with all of you who'd say not this again. 'Cause I am the leader of the workers, and I'll tell you why the left is suspect. 'Cause there's something you don't understand. Only my line is correct. Yeah, I am the vanguard of the masses, and all of you should just follow me. And if you doubt my analysis, you must be in the petty bourgeoisie. And I'll have no music at my protests, none of that goddamn puppetry. I'll just have some somber slogans, no decadent frivolity. But my chants will be the right ones, just the ones that should be said. And my banners will wave proudly, just the proper shade of red. And I will build the party if it kills me. I am solely dedicated to the cause. If I have to stab you in the back, that won't give me pause. But my platform will bring us forward, and the ends always justify the means. So all of you should step aside behind me, be you Quakers, Jews, anarchists, or Greens. 'Cause I am the leader of the workers, and I'll tell you why the left is suspect. 'Cause there's something you don't understand. Only my line is correct. Yeah, I am the vanguard of the masses, and all of you should just follow me. And if you doubt my analysis, you must be in the petty bourgeoisie.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and we're listening to Who is to Blame for the Financial Crisis, Washington or Wall Street?
Finally, to speak against the motion, Nell Minow, who is an attorney who has held positions in various government agencies, but she's best known and, again, most relevant in this debate for having run a firm which held corporate CEOs to strict accountability. She was described by Fortune magazine as the CEO killer. And I know we have some CEOs in the room now, so this is not literal, is it? Ladies and gentlemen, Nell Minow.
Only when they deserve it. You've got to vote for our side. I have to tell you, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. We all agree. There's plenty of blame to go around. You know, there's Washington, there's Wall Street, but all of us know who really is to blame here. It's got to be Jim Cramer. Listen, I'm willing to blame everybody. I'm even willing to blame that bachelor guy. Everybody deserves, you know, it takes a village to create this problem. Or to put it another way, I'm going to quote Pogo, who said, "We have met the enemy and he is us. Every one of us bears some responsibility for what went on here." But I'm going to tell you today why it's Wall Street that is primarily responsible. First of all, it's a bit of a false distinction between Wall Street and Washington. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today is how inextricably they are linked. You may have noticed already, even in this few minutes that I've been up here, I'm different. I'm not like anybody else on this panel. And the primary difference, as I'm sure you've noticed, is I'm the only one on the panel who's from Washington. I have to say, none of these people know anything about Washington except some addresses. That's all we know. He's got a GPS. That's all he's got. And, you know, and the other thing is, I'm not an economist. I am a capitalist. I, uniquely on this panel, I have created businesses. I have created businesses, had them grow, and sold them. I have worried about making a payroll. So I know something. I'm not like an economist who it works in theory, it doesn't work in practice. So I'm going to tell you the three things that Wall Street did that are unforgivable and that really weigh the balance in favor of their responsibility. What is the one thing we want from Wall Street? We want just one thing. We want them to be able to do math, right? The math was wrong. Their math was bad. They put too much reliance on something called the Gaussian copula formula. Yes, the Gaussian copula formula is at the heart of what created the derivative securities, the credit default swaps. They all relied on it. They all got on one leaky little boat, okay? And what is the address of all of those firms? I believe it's on Wall Street. Second thing, bad incentives. They were getting paid based on the quantity of transactions, not the quality of transactions. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that's going to have a very bad result. Okay, next, terrible oversight as shareholders. Yes, the shareholders should have done more. Guess who the big shareholders are? Yeah, they're on Wall Street. Who was it that was voting in favor of these insane pay packages? Well, look at the firms on Wall Street. They're the big shareholders. They're managing all that money. They are enablers for the addiction of bad pay packages on Wall Street. And yeah, Washington behaved badly. Washington behaved very badly. Do you think the fact that from 1998 to 2008, over $600 million was spent on lobbying to get rid of regulations, to get rid of capital requirements on banks? Do you think maybe that might have had an effect on it? Yeah, Washington is nice to its friends. Who's responsible for that? Who are its friends? Wall Street has expected us to bet on them for a long time. They have not lived up to our trust in them, and they are more responsible than Washington for this mess.
And that concludes round one, opening remarks of this debate. We had you vote when you came in. Vote on whether you side with the motion, against the motion, or are undecided, and we have the first results from that first vote. Restating the motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis, 42% of you vote for this motion, 30% vote against, and 28% remain undecided. We'll poll you again at the end of the evening, and the team that moves most votes, the team that changes most minds, will be declared our winner. So we're now going to move on to round two, and in round two, the debaters talk to each other directly, and they also take questions from us. So on to round two, and I just want to ask Neil Ferguson, if Washington had performed its job well, would we have an economic crisis?
Well, I think one way of answering that question is to ask whether every country in the world is having a financial crisis comparable to the one that's being experienced in the United States. You don't have to travel terribly far, actually, to get to a country where banks are and have been adequately regulated. That country is called Canada. So if you simply look at what's happened there, it becomes obvious that something was egregiously wrong with the regulatory environment in the United States, and that is our central point.
Now, Mino, you're on the opposite side of the argument, but I see you nodding.
Well,
that's always a good sign.
you know, the fact is that the banks are supposed to be able to respond to whatever is provided to them in some kind of a rational way, and they didn't do that. As I said, they all relied too heavily on the same set of numbers. But I'm not sure that I think that that more regulation is the answer. Is that what you're arguing for?
On the contrary, I've never said I'm in favor of more regulation, simply better regulation.
Well, in what way is it better?
Can I conclude my point? If you think back to the highly regulated financial markets of the 1970s, it's not as if that was a period without financial crisis. So no, I'm not in favor of more regulation. The heavy regulations that were imposed during and after the Great Depression didn't actually prove to be that benign. The trouble is that the deregulation, much of which was justifiable, was taken to excess.
Alex Berenson from the other side.
Certainly there has been a huge amount of deregulation in the last 20 years. There's also been major changes in the structure of Wall Street. Firms, Wall Street was essentially a set of partnerships largely until the 70s, and by the 90s, I think Goldman was the last big firm to give up the partnership model. So again, it's not your capital at risk anymore, it's your shareholders' capital at risk. You don't own your firm anymore, you own a portion of it. I don't think it's an accident that there are some small partnerships out there that have essentially thrived, maybe too strong a word, but they have survived this crisis. The other very, very important change, really the most important change, is the egregious increase in compensation. It's one thing if you're making, $500,000 a year. Let's say you're making some multiple of an average American salary, where if you do that for 10 years, you're very well off. It's another thing if one good year makes your life and makes your children's lives. It really skews your incentives.
John Steele Gordon.
I just want to point out that Nell has said that Wall Street spent $600 million lobbying Washington for regulations that Wall Street liked. I'm sure that's perfectly true. On the other hand, Washington took the money and produced the regulation.
Yeah, yeah. Nell?
You know what? Washington has its own market system, and people have got to get reelected. That's what accountability is. Yeah, they took the money, but you're blaming the victim there.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Buenas noches, everyone. Buenas noches, and how are you tonight? I am recently elected El Presidente of Mexico, Felipe Calderón. As you know, I recently won election very close and, well, one strange anomaly. A lot of votes cast for Pat Buchanan. But otherwise, it went swimmingly, and I will tell you why I won. Because I, unlike your President Bush, I am in touch with the needs of my people. I understand my people's deep, abiding need to get the hell out of Mexico. Therefore...
Hold on a minute there, Mr. El Presidente. Now, I am a member of the border protection group known as the Minutemen, and I am here in support of strict immigration laws. Now, my ancestors did not flee England in the 1600s and come to America to settle in a country that allows immigrants. Well, we know all about your secret plan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your secret plan for Mexicans to own a part of Texas.
Okay, it's true. We're coming to buy up Walmart and Lexus.
That Selma Hayek wants to buy all of our multiplexes.
Won't Bush be thrown the day I own his Crawford Ranch in Texas? And California we will own. Arnold will be overthrown.
You won't see our Congress voting your way.
We will if they want their nannies cheap and underpaid. And
now U.S. is overrun with illegal aliens. Soon we'll see the citizens of Mexifornia, my new home.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like all of you to meet my nephew, Juan Calderon. Now, Juan. Juan loves everything about America. Juan loves shopping at IKEA. Juan loves driving his Toyota. Juan even likes to pick lettuce. You don't want to get rid of Juan. No one wants a salad that costs $500.
Juan, we are in a thicket because we like our food real cheap. Juan,
If he doesn't pick it, a grape costs more than a Jeep. Give us your masses of huddled and poor who yearn.
I can breathe free, which is good, given what I'll earn.
One thing that we agree on, if we build a border fence,
builders in U.S. would cost a ton. Son, since we have a big expense here,
who will have to build defense here? Guys like one, that's me.
And now, back to who is to blame for the financial crisis, Washington or Wall Street?
Now, do you want to respond to the audience response?
Yeah, sure. If
the victims of the voters and taxpayers.
If you want to make this about campaign finance reform, I'd be happy to turn this into that debate, and I'd be happy to come back and have that debate. I'm totally in favor of that, but the United States is the only country in the world that has this level of corruption coming into politics from money, because this is the only country in the world that doesn't give free television time and forces politicians to buy the time. So you want to take money out of politics? I think that would be a great thing. I think it would be hugely beneficial in Washington, believe me. But you cannot blame Washington for the fact that all this money comes in Wall Street.
Washington might be corrupt, but you have to think about the international dimension of this phenomenon. There are many countries with totally different laws about lobbying and so on, and there have been about 50 banking crises in the last 20 years and have occurred in very different political regimes. And if there is something common among all of them is that in most of these cases you had controlled financial system and then deregulation occurred too fast and in ways that did not provide prudential regulation supervision of the financial system. As I said, capitalism is based on greed. Greed is just about incentive, about maximizing returns. We're all greedy, you know. First of all, you said you are the only one from Washington. I spent 2 years at the White House and Treasury and also run a successful business. So I know about policy and I know about business. I tell you, in my business, I'm greedy and I react to incentives, but I want public policy to be setting rules and regulations so that I don't misbehave and I don't cheat and
let me bring
and I don't take excessive risk with taxpayers' money.
Neil Ferguson has been very patient. Your teammate, Neil.
Neil, I'm still struggling to understand how the recipients of bribes are victims.
I'm sorry. It's not a bribe. Listen.
I'm afraid your moral GPS just broke down.
Oh, very good.
Let me just say that this is not a bribe.
And in fact, if you look at the lobbying statistics, you'll see that half of the people that took the money voted against them anyway, which is part of politics too. But the point is, as you well know, people ran for office and were elected on policies of deregulation.
You've hit the nail on the head here. AIG spent $9.7 million on federal lobbying last year, in 1 year, and that was down on the previous year. And the top recipients of the money include the chair of the Senate Finance Committee and the chair of the Senate Banking Committee. Now, if that doesn't tell you that something is morally rotten at the heart of Washington, I don't know what we have to show you.
If it doesn't tell you that something is...
Jim Chanos, you contrarian, you have been sitting there silently on the side
just,
against the
just election. Because the Keystone Cops couldn't catch the gang that couldn't shoot straight doesn't absolve that gang from its guilt in not only looting the system with material intent, but materially abrogating their fiduciary responsibility to their clients and the nation.
Okay, we are halfway through the head-to-head round of the debate. The motion is blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis. I'm your moderator, John Donvan, and we are now going to the center for a question.
I have a question for Mr. Ferguson. I believe you said that you don't believe in more regulation, only in smarter regulation, that eliminating lobbying, is that part of smarter regulation? And if so, do you know a constitutional way to do it?
Well, the regulation that seems to me more important than that actually has to do with bank capital adequacy. I don't think one can simply say that this financial crisis is a result of lobbying. This crisis has much more to do with excessive leverage.
Keep talking.
I'm always welcome interruptions. So don't delude yourself. You can't simply fix the problem of financial crises by eliminating political finance.
Are you saying that there was no lobbying involved in reducing the capital requirements?
I'd like to see Alex Berenson, who's been patient now.
what we all would agree on is that, in a very real way, Wall Street has set the conditions of its own regulation in the last 15 years. And clearly, that has gone too far. And Washington, I mean, to me, seems to work best when there are two strong sides, debating an issue. When it came to deregulating the banks, there really wasn't anybody saying, don't do it. I mean, there were a few people who didn't have any money. But so when you have a condition where the industry is essentially creating its own regulation, that's no regulation. And then it falls even more on the people, the executives, the managers in that industry to act like adults, which they did not do.
Gentleman who caught my eye. Yeah, and that's you reaching for the microphone.
Yes, thank you. To go quickly from euphemisms and to just not single out poor old Bernie Madoff as being the villain of the moment, can we have from the panel some of the names of the human beings who were behind the mechanisms that created this problem, such people as likely as Chuck Schumer, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd?
John Steele Gordon, just because you haven't spoken in a while, would you like an in on this?
Well, I must say, Frank Rains, of course, was a Washingtonian to his fingertips. And
the CEO of a public corporation.
A public corporation that had unique tax advantages. And, of course, when they did collapse, the government came up and bailed them out, which is why they were able to borrow money at below market rates. I mean, so it was, Fannie and Freddie were economic chimeras created in Washington by the government for purposes of making the government books look better. And then they ended up with this beast.
Question from the far top.
I have a question for Mr. Chanos. You said earlier that the government has never uncovered corruption, but what does that mean, that Washington is at fault then? Granted, these companies shouldn't have been corrupted in the first place, but wouldn't, if they're given the opportunity, wouldn't it make sense that they would abuse? Wouldn't it be foolish to assume that they wouldn't abuse this power that they have?
Let's just look at the response of this crisis. You had the CEOs of our major banks and brokerage troop down to Washington. What are the two things they requested? They asked for short selling to be stopped or curtailed, and they asked for loosening in the accounting rules. So rather than tightening up things and making things more transparent, what has Wall Street done? It's come running to Washington to ask for more help and more obfuscation and more opacity.
Does the side for the motion want to respond to that?
Well, Washington,
John Steele Gordon.
Washington could say no.
All right, short and sweet.
Isn't it crazy what this war has done? You sit there shouting, we've won, we've won, we've won. All you've won is distrust of the nation. It wasn't the idea, Iraq salvation, no. I'm sure I heard the word freedom said, but I see no freedom. I see the dead, I see wounded children and empty homes, wives without husbands and babies alone. Shelters made out of landmine and shells, is freedom there? I live in hell. Case you've won, you win top prize. What you ask, you can tell more lies now. The governments agree to cover your back. Who's covering the back of civilians in Iraq now? Sure, I heard the word freedom said, but I see no freedom. I see the dead, I see wounded children and empty homes, wives without husbands and babies alone. Shelters made out of landmine shells, is freedom there? live in hell. You're still the leader, no damage done. You look to the aftermath of what you want now. Victims wander around asking why they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but there wasn't a right time. They weren't to know they were being used as a reality TV show, screen live all day on different stations, so others could watch their devastation with a packet of popcorn, a hand on the phone. They live the war while we watch from home. We watch from a distance, always free from any effects that there may be. But what about Iraq? They didn't ask for the war that made them TV stars. Sure, I heard the word freedom said, but I see no freedom. I see the dead, I see wounded children and empty homes. Wives without husbands and babies alone. Shelters made out of landmine shells you've given them. You've given them living.
And now, messages from Access Sacramento.